Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Tuesday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, a striking new development in the Kevin Durant trade drama, which means, of course, a striking new development in the Russell Westbrook trade drama. We'll break it all down next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how you get your podcasts or where you get your podcasts. This one is always free, never behind a paywall. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go for all the visual fun. Subscribe, get the breaking news early. Do want to let you know, August 27th, 11 a.m. at the Doer Store, 170 South La Brea. If you are in Los Angeles, we'll be doing a special live taping there of the show, a special mailbag episode that you can participate in by showing up. There'll be some giveaways. You can, you know, put yourself into the program. And if you can't make it there, Andy, because not everybody lives in Los Angeles and some people can't make it on a Saturday, even if they do, we will be doing some giveaways leading up to the show. Ask us a question on the Locked On Lakers show page with the hashtag Doer Show, D-U-E-R-S-H-O-W, Doer Show, and that will make you eligible to win some of these giveaways. We'll, as long as your question is good enough to be used on a show, that kind of gets you into the competition. We'll pull some usernames out, and those people will win prize packages courtesy of the folks over at Doer.
Again, that is the velvet rope to the proverbial champagne room, as it were.
If you will.
Yeah, just good enough question. And again, it will likely be about the Lakers, but it does not
doesn't have to be
about the Lakers. It just needs to be a good question for the show. It could be about the NBA. It could be about movies, TV, us,
whatever. Just has
just to make
good.
It good.
Yeah. So 11 a.m. Saturday, August 27th. Locked On 15 is the code, by the way, if you ever want to just buy this stuff yourself, go ahead and use it. So we'll get to some stuff we haven't had a chance to cover about Darvin Ham and Russell Westbrook and how that dynamic might play out. We talked yesterday about trades, Andy, the Utah Jazz thing that is out there. We didn't mention a name from the Knicks that has been attached to the Lakers, Cam Reddish. We can decide if we think that is something to get excited about. Long rumored to be joining the Lakers, but we got to start here because, oh my, the NBA tilt on tilt today. Shams, the official correspondent of everything happening in Brooklyn right now, notes that this meeting between Joe Tsai and Kevin Durant, it was cordial, it was transparent, and it was filled with bombshells. Kevin Durant says, "I'm happy to stay as long as you fire general manager Sean Marks and coach Steve Nash." So it's them or me.
Well, what's interesting about it, Brian, to me, is the way Shams framed this. I'm not even sure.
Interesting you about this?
Well, I, in particular, just off what you had said, I don't think it's clear that Kevin Durant will be happy to stay if Nash and Marks are fired.
These are just
some of the conditions to, I guess, get him to willingly stay, however unhappy.
This is a starting point. I took it to mean them or me. If you fire them, okay, we're cool.
Right.
And if you don't, then I really need to be traded.
Right. And, you know, he reiterated that trade request and also said, quote, per Shams, Durant stated he does not have faith in the team's direction, sources said. What I also found really interesting about this, too, just in terms of trips down memory lane and the most famous trade request ever, Kobe's in the summer of 2007, which you and I covered to death at the time for the LA Times. This meeting between Tsai and KD took place in London. You may remember Kobe had a meeting with Dr. Buss in Barcelona that NBA offseason. So both things happening in Europe. They hashed through some issues. Kobe still wanted out. Jerry Buss responded.
Hot spot for trade demands.
Yeah, it really is. It's where people go to get away and ask out.
Do you think when he sat down, because, you know, Joe Tsai is the governor of the Nets. Do you think when Durant sat down, he said, "Hello, governor"? So that's a no.
Yeah.
It's because he's the governor and they're in England. It's like a little joke.
Very little.
Hello, Governor.
Yeah. Screech and halt.
Thought I'd ask.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start with the most basic thing before we get into how we think this plays out, how we think this impacts the Lakers. Your Josiah, Kevin Durant, has just laid this in your lap. How do you react? What is your initial thought to, okay, I can keep my guy, but I got to fire my GM and my coach?
Well, that's really interesting. Because remember, at some point during this drama, Brian Windhorst, on one of the ESPN shows, and to be clear, he was stating this as purely his belief. It was nothing he had been told in ironclad terms, but he had said the billionaire owner Joe Tsai would rather have a team that plays hard, that he's proud to own, that wins 40 games and fights for the play-in, than have a team that has way more talent that he's not proud to be a part of. This was, again, Windhorst's belief. But with that in mind, it could mean that Tsai is like, you know what, F this, I'm done with this. And this is the thing that makes him just say, you know what, we're going to trade KD, we're going to trade Kyrie, and just, I'm going to wash my billionaire hands of all of this. You know, I guess he could have done that by now, were he that sick of it, but, you know, he hasn't gotten the deal he wanted. But we know, if nothing else, he could have Jaylen Brown and some other pieces, and you could do a hell of a lot worse.
For right. Shams says in the thing, like, you know, they're going to extract every ounce of value, in a trade. And
but,
you know, so that has implications for who might in fact be willing to trade for him.
Right. But the other part of this that I find is really interesting, and ESPN, I want to say in April, ran a really good profile about Joe Tsai, just basically being in the middle of a really precarious situation because of his ties with the Chinese government, Chinese economics, the geopolitical problems between the U.S. and China, which has put the NBA in an awkward place. It's often become fodder for the
Republican. Are there any? Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's become fodder for the Republican Party and culture war stuff. And one of the impressions that I got from this was that Joe Tsai is not somebody that is easily intimidated or I think would like the impression of being bullied. So you could just as easily see this this from Durant provoking a reaction from Tsai, just saying, no, like, no, this is not something that I want to do. I am not going to do this just to make you happy.
Well, your reputation as, you know, like be bullied, this and that, as the owner of a team, as the owner of a business, the reaction,
good luck finding quality people to replace Nash and
correct Hall. You can't do this. You can't, you know, especially when, you know, we've talked a lot about, you know, sort of the irony, whatever the word is that you want to use, the cognitive dissonance, the whatever it is about LeBron being upset with the direction of the Lakers franchise over the fallout of the Russell Westbrook trade.
When this
he clearly had something to do.
There are commonalities here.
Yes, there are. That is where I'm getting. The reason that the roster looks the way that it does, the reason that they have gone the directions that Kyrie Irving is here and all, you know, and they've done all of this stuff, that they got James Harden, is to satisfy Kevin Durant. So if he's not satisfied with the direction of it, it's the organization has done a lot to satisfy him. Steve Nash was a Kevin Durant approved hire. You know, Sean Marks has bent over backwards to try to do, you know, mold this team in a way that makes Durant happy. He may not like it, but that does. I mean, the problem here, and we'll get to this after the break. If you say yes, not only have you ceded control to your, you know, star in this case, your 34-year-old star, what on
under
God's
contract green... for 4 years? It's not like he's got a looming exit that he can use as leverage. He's under contract long term.
Right. What on God's green makes you think the next 10 things you do are going to make him happy? So a lot more to unpack with this, including how it impacts potential Kyrie to the Lakers deal next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar Puffs, they are sweeping the nation. And as always, there are new flavors. The latest cookie dough chunk puffs. They've got a light, chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, real, like the stuff that you love that's going to take you back to your childhood, or I guess for some of you, your recent adulthood, like yesterday, but just more convenient. And as always, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Just all the joy of eating cookie dough, like that just wonderful, happy place it takes you, except you don't have to make it. You don't have to make a mess. You don't have to clean anything up. And believe it or not, healthy for you.
You're not getting fat. Right. You're going to become a big, you know, tub of goo, as David Letterman used to call people.
Exactly. Cookie dough chunk puffs. They're only 160 calories, but they've got a whopping 15 grams of protein and the collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently. It's got health benefits. Like, order a box for you and the family right now. Ditch the calories, ditch the fat, ditch the sugar. Grab yourself a great snack with Built Bars. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, get 15% off your order. Again, promo code LOCK15, 15% off at built.com.
So, like, I don't see how, like, to me, I could be wrong. You know, there's going to be some time to process this stuff and whatever. And there's also no question that, you know, the issue of leverage changes here and, you know, how other teams react and all that. The difference being, like, you know, if Durant doesn't show up, he's under contract for 4 more years. He's 34 years old. How much time does he really want to spend sitting on the sidelines?
I'll say this right now. If I'm Joe Tsai, I mean, however you want to handle this situation, like, as a whole big picture, I am calling BS right now on the idea that KD will sit out this season.
Mm-hmm.
I do not buy that for a second.
And so perhaps the thing that changes here is, I would say, whereas before I was much more, depending on, you know, pre-meeting, I was much more of the mind that almost no matter what, you just kind of let it go and you start the season and you say, we're trying to help, like they did with Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking into it. We're trying to accommodate you in the meantime. And then you try to win enough games to where this becomes something that you're not,
which just this team about theoretically
could Ben Simmons and Kyrie, you know, Kyrie and KD with that supporting cast is a team that is a legit team.
Absolutely.
I would say now post meeting, because this is not something I think that the Nets would put out there. I think this is something that KD's side puts out there. Now I say I think it's more likely that they do try to move him, more actively try to move him. Not for a bad deal, not for a deal, you know, pennies on the dollar, but I think, you know, because you can't give in to the demand. So either KD changes his mind, learns to live with it, or he gets traded. I still don't understand, though, in terms of how this impacts the Lakers. I'm not sure how much it impacts the timeline. And the biggest thing is, I'm still not sure it automatically means that Kyrie Irving gets traded in the end. And the reason I say this, I think we might have touched on this on a show last week. Let's say they do the Boston deal. You get Marcus Smart, you get Jaylen Brown, plus whatever else they come. That's not a blow it up deal. That is not a tear down deal.
Yeah.
And so if you have that, you know, you got maybe have some roster imbalance you got to figure out or whatever, but you don't automatically move Kyrie Irving in a fire sale for that. So I think this makes a Kyrie trade more likely, but I'm not sure how much more likely. And I'm really not sure as to when it becomes more likely. Like, you know, if you're weighing a Utah deal, if you're weighing an Indiana deal and you feel like you got to get something done before the beginning of the year, I don't know if this changes it as much as it might seem on the surface.
Well, it really depends to me a lot on what you get back for Kevin Durant.
Right. That's my point.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, depending on what you get back, like if say you got Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart and Derek White, and then, you know, whatever draft capital or whatever, but that's not germane for this particular conversation. But if, say, you get back those three players, or, say, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Grant Williams, like something like that, like you good NBA players, you, I guess, might feel sort of empowered enough that you could move Kyrie just for future stuff because you feel like you are good enough right now for because of the KD haul that you can compete and kind of have your cake and eat it too.
Right. Or you have a line, or you have something lined up with those two picks to, you know, go get another player.
Right.
You're like, exactly. I'm not saying it's impossible.
No. But I'm just saying.
My only point is like, it's not guaranteed that the team that's left after a Kevin Durant trade is a teardown, but the scenario you're talking about is totally reasonable. Also.
Oh, sure. My whole point was just not to disagree with what you're saying was idea that contextually it could end up being a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. Like it could be a situation where you say, look, Kyrie claims that he wants to be a Net, claims that he is in it with Brooklyn for this season, regardless of what happens to KD, if for no other reason than to try to repair his own image so his impending free agency can be more fruitful than his recent attempt to try to get teams to sign and trade for him, you know, make a long-term commitment towards him. Jaylen Brown has recently said that he and Kyrie, while not particularly close as teammates in Boston and didn't really get along, they've since mended those fences. They actually are friends right now. It could be a situation where Kyrie genuinely wants to play with Jaylen Brown, and it gives Brooklyn confidence just to say, you know what? We think we are going to get the best version of Kyrie Irving. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not committed to him long-term. We don't think we may ever be committed to him long-term. But for this year, we can get from Kyrie what we need because of all the different things he needs from this season. So that could make them less inclined to trade Kyrie altogether.
The landscape
is really unpredictable.
The landscape is I don't think really any more clear than it was before this bombshell. The management or me is a bombshell. Like I know sometimes people will kind of try to gin stuff up to make it seem more interesting. This is star player says management or me, coach and GM or me. That's a big one. I think it's done specifically with the understanding that there is no way in hell that the Nets would do that.
Sure.
That's my belief.
Sure. You may very well be right, but the flip side is Josiah could just as easily say, that's a great story, Kevin. I'll see you at training camp.
Right. And, why? I get like the leverage, I get the power play. He can say like this, you know, but as another team, would you want that? Like, how excited would you be to acquire Kevin Durant?
I think that is
that ultimatum.
I think that is among the many reasons that teams are not bending over backwards to get Kevin Durant, with him being clearly, if not available, because Brooklyn, all things being equal, has not wanted to move him, clearly open to the idea of having to move him. You know, there's obviously KD's age. There's obviously the injury concerns. That there are different reasons that you wouldn't be all in the way you would have been, like dead smack in his prime before the Achilles injury. But I do think one of the reasons is just, man, why is this not going to be us in 2 years? Like,
right.
The guy never seems to be happy. And like, look, I don't blame Kevin Durant for not having faith in the Nets' direction, because let me tell you something, the superstar leadership over there sucks. It's really, it's terrible. Think about this, just not with the Nets, but just the NBA at large. I think you're really going to start seeing, if we're not already, team like ownership groups saying enough.
I think it's already happened. I think that is the great sea change in the fallout really of the Lakers and what happened with Westbrook, and in this just debacle in Brooklyn. I think that is it.
And
we've already seen it, Andy, because, you know, assuming James Harden doesn't turn around next year and get a max deal, like, they're already short of like Brad Beal and
Harden's going to get a max deal.
What?
Harden's going to get a max deal.
He might, but like, we'll see. But I'm not convinced that he's going to get, you know, at 34 or whatever he is, you know, $260 million, especially if he spends 30 games on the sidelines. And so
we'll see.
The
like
parallels
the Lakers
here.
Really, Yeah, I mean, with the Lakers.
Yeah, that's where I'm going. And so, yeah. There's a lesson here, and it is topical for the Lakers because we're always talking about leverage. We're always talking about LeBron. We're always talking about this extension and what the Lakers ought to do to satisfy LeBron going forward. So let's talk about that next. All right. I mean, Andy, you don't have to be a master connector of dots and connector of through lines to see similarities here between, what's happening with Kevin Durant and the star decision that the Nets have in Brooklyn to this, what the Lakers deal with LeBron and this at least storyline. And I don't know how much I buy it, but the storyline that LeBron can hold their feet to the fire and Lakers have to do everything they possibly can to satisfy him. And this puts that in perspective.
Well, I mean, but it's not just the idea of making LeBron happy, because making your superstars happy is something that every team looks to do. And frankly, every team should look to do.
But at all costs, with no limits, with no limitations.
But also, too, specifically, I mean, if you're really looking for the common link between the Nets and the Lakers with this, it's that LeBron's leverage, the perceived leverage, however much you believe it's there with, the idea of not signing an extension, potentially leaving or whatever, it's not just make moves to make me happy. It's clean up the mess that I created. If you don't clean up the mess that I created by, or at least partially created.
Contributed to, certainly. Okay.
You and I firmly believe, and I've stated many times, that if Rob Pelinka truly thought this was a terrible idea, then it was on him to go to Jeannie Buss and say, adding Russell Westbrook makes no sense.
Right. This is if he wasn't willing to tell that to the Clutch people himself.
Right. And Jeannie then should have said, tell them no. And if they have any issues, I will handle it, because contrary to popular perception, I am all of your bosses. Like, if that's really...
I am the captain now.
Right. If that's really how Rob Pelinka felt about this, then at the end of the day, there's a backstop and it should have been utilized. But there is this common element of stars saying, I want X, I want Y, I want Z. And then when X, Y, and Z, in some cases, predictably, goes sideways, it's if you don't give me Z part two, which is cleaning up my mess and then something new, I'm leaving. And I think you're starting to see just organizations say, can't do this anymore. Like, player empowerment, these guys deserve a certain amount of power and, a certain amount of say over their livelihoods. And for a while, it was too far balanced towards the owners. But we're starting to see what can happen is if you give superstars too much carte blanche, there's a reason they're players and not GMs. And it's not because they're stupid. I don't mean it like that. It's being a GM is a really damn hard job. And being an NBA player is a really damn hard job. And trying to juggle them both is really hard. It's the reason why coach GM rarely works. It's too damn hard.
I look at
and
this.
You lose objectivity.
Right. And Kevin Durant is in a different situation than LeBron. The context is not exactly the same and whatever. But there is a lesson here about just how much power you need to into what degree. It's like the problem with the Lakers. Brooklyn has a very competitive team. The Lakers have a less competitive team. Brooklyn is in a situation where if they can manage to somehow just kind of pretend none of this happened or get Kevin Durant in and get him playing hard and whatever, doing his job.
Which I think he will if he's there. I
tend to agree with you.
I don't think he's going to phone it in.
Until he doesn't, I think he would. There's incentive. Like Lakers fans, so there were some people angry on the Locked On Lakers YouTube board today, Monday, I should say, because they were... Right, I know. But like, because of, the idea that the Utah deal, which I hate it, I just... Any permutation of that as presented, I don't like it. I don't think it's good enough. And I don't think it helps the Lakers. And there are a lot of Lakers fans who are like, but we can't win if Westbrook is on the roster. That's true. I don't think they can win if Westbrook is on the roster. Not to the extent Lakers fans want. But I also don't think trading, making a bad, that doesn't help. And so the teams are not in the same space. But that doesn't mean that LeBron walking, LeBron, you know, saying, you know what, I don't like the direction of this franchise, I'm not coming back, you need to move me or I'm walking away. That creates real problems. There is fallout from that.
Sure.
But there is also fallout for the Lakers for going, for doing stupid things in the service of their star. And I've seen no sign that LeBron is putting them in that position. I want to make it very clear. I'm not saying LeBron is doing that. I actually think he is going to actively not do that because I don't think it's in LeBron's interest. And I think LeBron understands his own leverage and perception and all of that. But for a team that is forever been stars or bust, whatever the stars need, bending a no. I think there is an overall lesson here for team building and star treatment that even a team like the Lakers needs, you know, will have to adapt to.
Look, we saw that at the last trade deadline when, you know, reportedly LeBron and Team Clutch wanted the Lakers to move Russell Westbrook for John Wall, which reportedly would have cost them one of their first round picks. You and I both thought that's a bad use of a first round pick. And we both felt that Rob Pelinka made the right decision there in saying no. And that caused a lot of static. You know, LeBron had a lot of passive aggressive comments before the deadline, certainly had a lot at the All-Star game when he basically praised every GM in sports other than his own. But then you saw Rich Paul on with Stephen A. Smith on the record walking back the idea that they were pushing for John Wall, that they were dissatisfied. And I think that was LeBron reading the room and recognizing that, A, these comments were not focus grouping well, and that a lot of people, if nothing else, held him responsible, Laker fans, for this mess. And we're like, man, there's only so much you can gripe about this because you are a big reason. Not the only reason,
but a big reason. Also, in truth, I think there was also the, you know, Rob, as Rob does, for things that are unpopular, will go to the group and say, this isn't just me. This is everyone. We're all on board here. And it's like, part of your job, Rob Pelinka, is to take some bullets sometimes for your star players.
Yeah.
And you know, people are upset this is a decision we made as an organization. Now don't start wrapping in, you know, that your stars as meat shields because people are coming after you for, I think, again, not making a dumb. I think LeBron isn't going to do this stuff. I don't expect him to go to Genie Bus and say, fire Rob Pelinka, make these three trades or I'm walking. And if they did, I would expect them to say, okay, you gotta go. There's a limit as to what we can do. But it is
you want to know something? Here's what's really ironic about this to me before you go. That
are you staying?
How much context and outside perception and the politics of all that can affect and shift these decisions? Because in a vacuum, if Kevin Durant were dissatisfied with Steve Nash and wanted a different coach, there are a lot of people who would think Kevin Durant is right about that. I mean, like, as much as I think you can make a compelling argument that Steve Nash has navigated very difficult
that was parameters. Not a cakewalk last year. I didn't watch enough Nets games before. To know the ins and outs of the rotation choices, but it has not been an easy, stable last couple of seasons.
It hasn't, but I've also heard from people who are cover the Nets. Nash has not impressed a lot of people. Similarly, you could make a compelling argument in a vacuum that the Lakers could do better than Rob Pelinka running things. You and I have made this argument many times.
I think you could do it outside of a vacuum, Andy.
but yes, anywhere in or out of
any,
the vacuum.
Any household appliance will do.
But when you start adding all the different contextual elements and the politics of those elements and the entire backstory of it all and everything leading up to it, it makes these decisions that otherwise might make sense or even be beneficial for the organization much dicier to actually do.
Now, if Katie, first of all, it is a little bit like, I need you to I'm not vibing with the coach here. We need to make a change. Like, can you help? Let's work on that. Plenty of guys out there. I'll give you three names. You pick one. We're cool.
Just like the list I gave you when you hired Steve.
Right. When Steve, you know what? I've lost faith in Sean Marks. I'll give you three names. You hire one of those guys. We'll be cool. Both? both is a lot. Both.
Well, Marks is tricky too, because there's actually been evidence of him knowing what he was doing before he was basically ordered to tear down everything he was building.
And the team, by the way, the team he put together is still pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. Again, working under really, really difficult situations. We didn't even get to the Russ Darvin Ham thing, which we'll do, I guess, for Wednesday. There's still some stuff about Austin Reeves, interesting things that perhaps people are very angry. People, Mo DeKeel, who is our guy. So people who are like, don't put him on. No, we're having Mo on anytime we can. And it's not Mo's fault that the team is where it is. It is not my fault, Andy. It is not your fault.
No.
I would like to harken back to the day we said that the idea of trading for Russell Westbrook is a really stupid one. But there are some reasons to be optimistic about the group, maybe some things that could break right that we want to get into, some of which involve Austin Reeves. Cam Reddish is apparently still a thing, so we'll discuss a couple other things. But this is just such a fascinating development in the because it's symbolic of so many other large overarching things that go well beyond the is this a good idea, bad idea for the Nets thing? And so I suspect more will start to come out about this over the week. So hopefully we'll get a little more clarity on what it means for the Lakers. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to see the show, ask questions with the Doer Show hashtag, and that'll make you eligible to win some of the giveaways we have leading up to the event on August 27th. Again, 170 South La Brea in Los Angeles. That's the Mid-Wilshire area. And 11 a.m. So we'll be there for that taping, and we'll see everybody on Wednesday.